Welcome to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa. You are tuned in to a show that will inspire you and empower you to move you from your past and help you grab hold to your God-given future. Using biblical, practical, and life experience, Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will be teaching women of all ages that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as you share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, we invite you to the show. Here's your host. Hello, listeners. This is Pastor Teresa, and we would like to welcome you to Share Talk as we get ready to share, talk, and grow, understanding that and learning that the hardship of life do not have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. Well, today, I have an exciting and special guest that's with us today. I'm so excited. I don't know what to do with myself. And I hope and pray that you're tuning in. Tell another couple, because this audience is a little bit different. We have male and female on the line that's chiming in on the phone and also on Twitter and also on Facebook. Well, today we have some good information for you. And so we're going to be ministering to couples, married couples. And I have the pleasure to have my best friend, my boo, my man, my pusher, my weightlifter with me today, Pastor Larry. He's with me today. Alrighty. Pastor Larry, can you greet the people?
Hello, listeners all around the world. It's Pastor Larry Burton, and I'm excited to be on this show today. And I pray we say something today that will help your marriage and strengthen someone else's marriage in the name of the Lord. And I'm just honored just to be on this show with my lovely wife. She's doing a phenomenal job. I just want to let everyone know, just off the record, I'm not saying it just because she's my wife, but she's doing a phenomenal job, and I'm so proud of her, and I'm her best cheerleader, and I will continue to be her cheerleader as she continues to catapult to the next dimension on way of airline. Amen.
Alrighty. Amen. All right, wonderful. Well, we have some exciting things to me. Y'all should see my face. My face, I got a smile on my face from ear to ear because he's out of control. But needless to say, we want this to be very empowering to you. We want it to be very impacted. So we have some information we do want to share with you. But before we get started, I'm going to ask Pastor Larry to lead us in prayer. And once we lead in the prayer, we're going to go right into our segment. Pastor Larry, can you lead us in prayer?
Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you, God. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to see another day, God, and we ask you right now, God, to have your way on this broadcast on tonight, God. We pray, God, the things that we say, God, will be administered to your people, God, and we pray, God, that the anointing will destroy every yoke, God. So we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you all the praise in advance on the healing process that will take forth on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, couples, as I stated, we have some information we really want to share with you. We want to pour our hearts out to you in the Word of God and practical wisdom to you, so therefore we can help you in your married couples. Now, this Monday is a special Monday because we don't always have fifth Mondays. So every fifth Monday, you will be blessed to have me and Pastor Larry on the line. He's just finding this out. You will be blessed to have me and Pastor Larry and maybe another special guest to come on and talk with just the couples. Amen. So today, our show is dealing with today, our episode today is dealing with the power to endure the storm together. The power to endure the storm together. And I was actually going through this. I'm thinking about a storm, and I want to ask Pastor Larry, I'm going to engage him in a conversation, and we're going to go into our questions and our discussion points. But Pastor Larry, when you think about a storm, what do you think about when you think about a storm in a marriage?
When I think about a storm in a marriage, I'm thinking about things that could happen unexpected. But normally people don't prepare for a storm, right? So when storms does happen in your marriage, it's vital that you understand that the individual that's involved, you're on the same team. So when storms do come, first thing that comes to my mind is, hey, it's time now to prepare to endure this storm. Because in marriages, we're all going to have storms. There's no marriage that's obsolete from the storm. And I believe the marriages that are standing strong are those that know how to waver through the storm, right? So those who are newlyweds or getting married, or those be married 20 or 30 years, but if they never know how to manage the storm, then their marriage will be in chaos. So to answer your question, when I think of a storm dealing with marriages and thinking about it could be the kids, blended families, it could be the husband not on one accord, the wife not on one accord, anything that will cause division, I would categorize that as a storm.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And when we think about the natural storm, we think about the winds, the rain, the pressure. You know, sometimes storms hinder our process to get to work, to get home from work, and all of this kind of thing. I'm not going to go too along with that. But when we really seriously think about a storm, the first thing we think about is something negative, something that can hinder where we want to go or how we want to be, because a storm is looked at negative. And so when we talk about a marriage, the storm in a marriage, just like Pastor Larry stated, my boo, he was saying there's different things that can come up. It could be your children. It could be blended family issues. It could be baby daddy, baby mama. It could be your job, loss of a job. And sometimes it's not the storm is the issue. It really is how we handle the storm. And today we really pray that the information that we're going to share with you today, that you really take heed to that. Because the one thing I found, Pastor Larry, is that when you're dealing with couples, I don't care if they're new couples, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, if they don't master how to deal with the process in a marriage, their marriage is, because some people are literally married, but they're not happy. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, that's married, but they're not happy. And I can say for you and I, we have had storms in our marriage, and we have had issues come up, but it's not the issue that control us. We control the issue. And that's what we want to help listeners. We want you to listen. We're talking to the men, and we're talking to the women. And today, I truly believe that if you just tune in and really allow God to minister to your heart, I promise you, you'll get something out of it. So, Pastor Larry, why do you think sometimes as husband and wife, much as we love each other, can we hurt each other even though that we love each other?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me back up for a minute. Because it's vital that we understand as couples, we're one, but we're growing to be one, right? So You have to understand that you have to have a relationship with the Lord. And I want to read the scripture where it says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you first have to understand that you're saved and you have a relationship with the Lord as an individual. Because if you're not whole before you go in, a lot of times we bring in sub-storms into the marriage. And so you bring it in things that should have been conquered before you even said, I do. And so I think a lot of times you can love someone, but because the individual hasn't been honest with the person, now you bring in these other storms or these other obstacles in the marriage, and now the individual don't know how to handle that situation. So I can love an individual, but if I had a problem with managing my finances, now that we're married, now you're going to see that little storm in me because I wasn't mature enough to handle that before I said I do. And so it's important that we understand that we have to know how to maintain our own storms before we unite with someone else. Because if I haven't managed my storms and this other person hasn't managed their storms and we come together, it's going to be chaos. So I believe it's very vital that you get counseling, premarital counseling, or once you get married, if you never have premarital counsel, seek someone that can help you. Because I found out, Pastor Teresa, that a lot of times the storms that we're dealing with is storms that we brought into the marriage. It is not necessarily the storms as we get married. Is we bring in a whole lot of baggage. We bring in a whole lot of bondage. So it's kind of hard to really enjoy the marriage because now I have a problem trying to handle your storms when the person that's involved may not even understand that they even have a storm. So I think from the beginning we have to understand that as individuals, we got to be sure and we got to be clear that I'm bringing to the table things that can uplift the marriage, not things that can tear down the marriage.
That's now I'm so glad you brought that point out, because as you and I, we counsel a lot of couples, especially the ones before, and then we have to go back and counsel people that's been married and had counseling. But sometimes you got to make sure you have the right counselor. I don't want to go too far ahead of myself, but I wanted to say, pick it back on something you were saying. making sure that you don't bring unresolved, and basically when you talk about a storm, make sure you're not bringing unresolved issues that you have not dealt with prior to marriage. And you're saying, well, why y'all talking about now? I'm already married. Because you need to be able to identify some of the things that we are dealing with in our marriages. It doesn't have to do with the marriage. It's had to do with you. In other words, if it's the man have the issue or the woman have the issue, you brought that in your marriage. So if you have a hot, and you don't know how to control what you say, you didn't know how to control what you say before you got married. So you don't know how to communicate with your husband. And so now you're sharing this space with this other person, and now that person is able to see your individual storm, which making a storm inside your marriage. That was a very good point, Pastor Larry. And the sad thing about it is, if we do not understand our weaknesses as husband and wife, we can misidentify what is really truly going on. I like what you said earlier, and that's one of our points. We're going to get to that, understanding that we're on the same team. The problem is we got to understand our team players. Y'all didn't catch that.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of times people in marriage and husband, why are we so busy trying to point fingers and try to say, it's you, and you don't understand me, and you don't listen to me, and you're not doing this. What you're not understanding is that we are coming in with all these different individual issues prior to marriage. And if you don't get the proper counseling, and even if you do get counseling, it could be some good counseling, but do understand that there's some things can come up that has not been resolved. And I like the other thing that you said, that managing your storm. And if you know there's some issues about your own self, like with me, when we first got married, I had this strong woman syndrome going on. My God. I had this strong woman syndrome going on, and when you try to intervene on some things, I'm like, I got it, I know how to do this, I could do this, and if I feel like you move too slow on something, I try to beat you to the punt, because I had these other issues that I brought into the marriage because I've been dropped, or I've been let down, or I've been abandoned, or I was rejected, and so now I'm married, and Lord knows I love you, but I brought a lot of my issues from my past into the marriage, so learning how to manage your storm, learning how to manage your storm is very important. So, Pastor Larry,
I don't mean to cut you off. I want to say this: with marriage, when women, strong women, get into a marriage, and men are made to solve problems. We're built to solve problems. So, if we're built to solve problems, but I married a strong woman, sometimes you can overstep your boundaries, right? You can actually tap into a territory that the man feel like now you're belittling him, because that's something that I'm built for. But because you're a strong woman and now you're involved with someone that may not be as aggressive as you think they should be, you're still kind of tapping into their own territory. And that can cause a man to back up and look at you saying, well, hey, if you're doing all of this, then why am I here? You know, if you're doing everything that you're saying I should do, but you're not giving me the time to do it, a man can feel like, well, you know what? I'm going to let you handle it. Since you're the strong woman, since you got it all together, you got every eye across every T, let me back up and let me see if you can handle this. And so it's very key that as women, especially the strong women, because I know if you're single, you've got children, you've built to maintain your own self. But once you come into a marriage, you have to let go of that authority and give it over to your husband. Well, it's easy said than done, Pastor. That's true. But that's why you got to be careful who you marry, right? So if you marry the right person, it won't be a problem for you to relinquish that. We can go back to me and my wife when we first got together. I can be honest, she was a strong woman. Lord knows she was a strong woman. And some of the things that she used to ask me or remind me, and I wanted to do it, but I felt like she was pushing me too fast. And so she kind of noticed that. She kind of backed off a little bit and let me do what I usually do at my own pace. But then I had to understand as a man, I can't still operate in my own speed knowing I'm married to someone who's a strong woman. So it goes both ways. So she would allow me to give me my space, and I'll allow her to do what she needs to do, because we are two individuals coming together. So when you come together as one, it takes time. It takes you humbling yourself and saying, you know what, it's going to take time for us to become one. The Bible says we two shall become one flesh, but it takes time for them two flesh to become one. We got two different backgrounds, two different environments, two different upbringings, and you bringing all that into one, it takes time. So you have to have patience with each other. And I think sometimes as married couples, we're trying to change people overnight But do understand it takes time for that transformation to take place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing about it is we don't have a time clock, but we do have a time clock, because I hear a lot of couples say, well, we've been married 2 years now. He should be over that, or she should be over that by now. And that's not true, because everybody is different. And you said something real key. I repeated that very same thing that you stated, that, you know, we got so many different, you got two different backgrounds, and y'all coming together to marinate and to merge two different people together. That takes time. And I truly believe if you take these nuggets and take this information that we're giving to you guys and say, you know what, I need to apply this. And see, the key thing is you got to humble yourself. I love that what you said, Pastor Larry, that you got to humble yourself. Because if you don't humble yourself under God first, say, God, I want to be that husband that you desire me to be. I want to be that wife that you desire me to be. If you don't do that first, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because keep in mind is the world is already going against, the enemy is already going against marriages anyway. And so he don't want us to be married, and then now he want to pervert marriage, because now we talk about same-sex marriage. And I ain't meant to go there, but I just had to say that. But for the most part, if we're talking about the power to endure, you have the power, you have the authority. God has already given you the authority to endure the storm. The question is, are you ready to fight? Because it's going to require some things. And I think a lot of times people get married and think, okay, I'm going to fit to marry my best friend, my boo. Much as my husband is my best friend, does not remove the challenges that we have faced. But I really truly believe that we became more of a best friend because we learned how to endure the storm together. The key thing for this title tonight is together, enduring the storm together. And so if you're not doing together, you over here and you're talking about it's all him, and you over there, it's all her, and not understand y'all in this thing together. So Pastor Larry, with that said, when we're talking about we hurt each other, because if you look at my summary, it said, if you don't know now, please know storms will come. And as marriage couples, it could become at times that we will hurt one another. We will disappoint one another, but it's not the issue, is the problem is how we handle it. And when we hurt each other, that's not intentionally. And I know a lot of times you say, well, I think he really tried to hurt my feelings, but really, truly, when you love somebody, you don't want to hurt them intentionally, but a lot of times because we're not really truly still don't understand your makeup. Because even though me and my husband been married we've been 14 years or 13, which one is it?
Oh, Lord have mercy. 13 years, boo. 13 years.
13 years? Okay, 13 years. 13 years. And I'm still learning him, and he's still learning me. And guess what I'm doing? I'm enjoying learning him even the more. I feel like I know him. I know when he's upset. I know when he's, even though his mannerism is always the same, but I still know when he's upset. I understand when something's on his heart. And I learn how, as a woman, because, you know, us women, we're talkers. We're big communicators, and we love to talk. Well, some of us, not all of us, but majority of the time, women are talkers. And so what I had to learn, how to back off of him and allow him at his own pace come talk to me. But every time I try to push him, I was pushing to talk and pushing to communicate. I was pushing him away, and it was bringing a wedge between us. But when I noticed it, I said, okay, keep in mind is when I noticed, it's not something he came and told me. I noticed it because I was going to God. Y'all missed that. They missed that, Pastor Larry. Because the key thing is something you have said, that you got to have a relationship with God. Because if you're going to be married and stay married and be happy, you got to have a relationship with God. And I ain't talking about a religious relationship. I'm talking about an intimate relationship. I'm talking about, my sister-in-law said this, a relationship that you desire to have. Because if you desire to have a relationship with God, then you will be intimate with him. And if you be intimate with him, he's going to tell you, and he will download things in your spirit. So, Pastor Larry, I want to ask you these questions before we get to our discussion points. I know I'm asking you some off-the-wall questions that's not on your sheet.
Not on my sheet.
You know, Pastor, it's not on your sheet. I'm so sorry, Pastor Larry. That's just what we do. But I want
to
share.
I know you feel it. Don't matter. I got you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I ain't going to say that on the air. But I want you to share with the brothers that's on the line, you know, when you're dealing with, I like the way how you is balanced with the wife that's a strong woman, the husband that maybe is not as aggressive, that's not maybe as fast paced. I love the way how you balance it off. But when you talk about a strong woman, woman with children, you coming into a family already that's already pre-made, and you're coming in, I want you to minister to that husband that's struggling with how to blend that all together, how to really make her feel, because I want to say this before I ask you this question, sometimes men and sometimes women, I got you because I'm a woman too, but I just thank God that God did some things in my marriage and I didn't have to go through the process long. There's a lot of times that we do feel as women that you don't got me. I think you're going to drop me too. Can you minister to the men that's on the line and about dropping their wife?
Well, I definitely believe as far as men dealing with blended family, you have to accept the package, right? You have to understand that the person you marry, your boo, you love her, but you also got to love her children. Because if you don't love her children, not only the kids are going to pick it up, eventually your boo is going to pick up, she's going to pick that up too. So you have to keep in mind that, hey, I married this individual. She has a child. She has two children. She has three children. But you have to understand, I've married the complete package. It's like a combo meal, right? You get a combo meal, it comes with different items. So you got to already approve, okay, if this is a combo deal, I got to accept this combo deal and give her the love. One thing I know about even with my wife, we first got together, first got married. I didn't do any disciplinary with her children because I didn't know them. They knew their mother. They knew the relationships from their fathers wasn't as good. So when I came in, the first thing in their mind was how long he's going to be here. So I just wanted to let them know, hey, I'm here for your mother. I'm here for you. But I'm going to let this blending process take its course. And so it took 2 years for me even to discipline one of the kids because I understand she didn't know me. I didn't know her. And so the first thing, I didn't want to put fear in them. I didn't want them to think I was just a disciplinarian. No, I wanted to be a loving father. I wanted to be someone who they can depend on, someone who they can count on. So I had to give them that time for them to know I'm not going anywhere, right? So it took 2 years for me. It may take different from you, but it took us 2 years for the walls for my daughters to come down. And that was the love of God that I had within me. That's the love of God that I shared to them, not necessarily verbal, not necessarily financially, but just being there, just loving on their mother. They're not hearing us arguing in the room. They're not hearing things thrown across the room. None of that. And so I demonstrated love in secret. And I believe once I did that in secret, they were able to put down those walls and say, you know what? This guy, he does love my mother. And so once they understood that I loved their mother, it was no problem for them to love me. And so that's one thing you have to understand. Hey, this is a package deal. I made it to win it. Divorce is not an option. And I married you, I love my kids, and I took step out of the equation. I said, there's no step in this family. The only step in this family is we had a two-story house, and you had to go up the steps to get to the next level. But there was no step in this family because, you know, the world said there's a stepdad. You might know, I'm your father. I don't have to have no step. You're not my stepdaughter. You're not my stepson. You're my son. And so I took the step. I took the world out of my marriage and understand, hey, from a biblical perspective, I'm coming in as the provider. I'm coming in as the leader. I'm coming in as the thermostat controller, right? Because as men, we are the thermostats of the house. We set the temperature. So if the house is heated, it's our job to cool it off. If it's cold, ain't no one saying nothing, it's our job to turn up the heat and bring warm back into the family. So you are the thermostat, men. You have to understand that, and you have to understand it is not about you. In that first 2 years, it wasn't about me getting gratification. It wasn't about me getting my hands lifted up and me being worshipped. It was about me being a servant. And now, 10, 12 years later, I'm reaping the benefits because I've sown love, and now I'm reaping the love. So you have to understand me, as blended family, it's not about you. Let the process take its course. Let the mother discipline the kids until they be able to trust you. You know, because it's kind of hard for a child to love someone who feel like the only time they talk with them is they get in trouble. So you have to understand you got to build that relationship with them based on love. And that's the only recipe that you need up front. You need to show the love of God. I can't say that enough. You have to show the love of God because if not, kids, they're smart. They know if you love them or not. Oh, you just here because you like my mother. But when the mother's not at the house, are they comfortable around you? You know, can they trust you when their mother's not there? or when the mother leaves the house, they always want to go with the mother. There's something wrong with that picture. You have to let them understand, you know what, mother, you can go. I don't care how long you're going. I'm safe with this man. I'm safe with the individual who you married. And up front, they may call you by your first name. They may call you by, it's okay, because guess what? I don't deal with low self-esteem, so just because they don't call me father the first 2 years, I'm not going to trip on that. I have to earn that. That's not something that was given. I have to earn that title to be called a father. So if they don't call you father right away, it's okay. You earn it. Once you earn it with the love of God, loving their mother, guess what? As a child, they'll feel the father, and it'll come out. It'll come out natural. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, one day they'll call you daddy, and they'll call you father. And that's why I wanted to deal with my kids. I wanted to build that. I didn't want to be called father because I asked them. I want them to call me father because I earned it. And then they feel that I truly love them.
Right. And I think, too, Pastor Larry, that, you know, with the what you kept saying when it comes to showing the love, first is from the father to the children, to the blended children, it's almost like we need to have what the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit. And what I can say, just as your wife, and I'm not saying this because you're my husband and I'm tooting your horn, that's not the case, but you really demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit. You had self-control. We made some mistakes in the beginning, because I remember I gave you the rod in the beginning, and you came to me and said, this ain't working. You know, I can't chastise these kids because they don't know me. You came to me and came and said that. She said, they don't know me. They need to get to know me. And wives, I need to hear, I don't want to make this a blended family issue, but I don't know. Majority of the questions that we receive through email, through inbox, is about blended families. And a lot of times, that is one of the storms that you're dealing with. You're dealing with trying to, how can I do this blended family thing with this husband, and this husband don't know what to do, or the husband don't know what the, you know, how the wife perceiving things, that kind of stuff like that. The first thing, you got to have the fruit of the Spirit. But while you're getting to know your wife, you do know you're getting to know the children too. And like my husband say, and a lot of stuff, a strategy that he used, I didn't know. He didn't always come to me and tell me, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing. That's not what he said. I just watched him back up. I started watching him just observing more. I just watched him spending more time with the kids. I watched him, you know, spending more time in the living room. And even though my oldest daughter, she would walk literally the first 2-3 years, I mean, the girl would come home from school and go straight in her bedroom. I mean, clockwork. We knew at 1, 2, 3, 5, Keisha, Tiffany's gone. She's gone. Now, Takesha, my baby girl, she's a little bit different. She'll stay around, hang around, but my oldest daughter did not. So I'm saying this to say this, Pastor Larry, is this, that fruit of the Spirit is very important. You kept saying you got to show love. You got to demonstrate love. You got to demonstrate that fruit of the Spirit, that self-control, long-suffering, that patience, because you may have a problem child in the family, or you may have a child that maybe has some behavior issues in the family, but you got to know how to show that patience, because if you don't, it's going to definitely frustrate the mother. I can tell you. It's going to frustrate the mother, because if anything, we want to be loved and we want a man by ourselves, by our side. But when we don't think that we got a man to love our children, it's going to show, and it's going to cause some type of conflict. It really, really is. Okay, so we want to go in.
You said some real key concerning a child that may have some behavior issues. And I don't want to give the false impression that I never got upset. I never thought about certain things. You know, transparency is transparency. I did think about that, but I didn't entertain the thought. My wife, we have, before we had a challenging child, let's say that, right? Challenging child. And as a man coming into a blended family, it's hard to love someone who's fighting against you. It's hard to wrap your arms around someone that's not biologically yours. So that's some of the struggles men deal with also. But you have to understand, even though the thought came, I didn't entertain the thought. You know, the thought came of, is this child really going to love me? Is she really going to give me the respect that I deserve? But once again, I had to back up and understand, you know what, I'm made for this. I'm built for this. Mm-hmm. So God showed me how to love being lovable. Show me how to be compassionate to someone who I feel like didn't give me no compassion. And that I feel a lot of men deal with that as well. When you have a child that's not being obedient, that doing things that the other child is not doing. So it's a struggle. You can't operate based on how you feel at the moment. You got to operate based on what the Word of God says. And to answer one of your questions, Pastor Reason, the reason why some of the things I did, what I let you know, I had to understand that, hey, I was a man in a little boy's body. You know, Joel Blumer has a book called A Little Boy in You, and it talks about how, as men, we can be grown in a stature, but still adolescent mentally. You know, we haven't developed into that male, as far as emotional, as far as financial, as far as spiritual. But our frame, we're a man, but inside we still have a little boy's tactics. And so we have to understand that as men, there's some things that we have to get developed. And if you didn't get those things as a child from your father, then where did you develop that from? And so women, you have to understand this too, that some men didn't come with the instruction on how to be a father. They didn't have the instruction on how to be a husband, how to be a man of God. Everything is trial and error. So you have to understand your man's makeup, where's his back, his history, his social life. Did he have a relationship with his father in the natural? If he didn't, what about his uncle? What about his teacher? Anyone? If no one taught him how to be a man, and now you're married this individual, he needs some help. He needs some guidance. So that's when you, as the helpmate, you have to understand. He may not understand where he at. You may say, Pastor Santa Hall, I don't really believe that because this man is 30 or 40 years old. What do you mean he don't understand? Yeah, you're looking at his outward appearance. You're looking at because he got a job and he can maintain this and this. But inside, he may be still an adolescent. He may be still going through that process of becoming a man of God, of becoming that husband that you want him to be. So you have to understand where your husband is, where they're. It goes both ways, right? Because it's not just with men, it's women too. So you have to understand they may be an adult in the outward appearance, but on the inside, are they full of development? If they're not full of development, it's going to take time for that individual to get to that next dimension.
That's right. That's right. And the sad thing about baby, you know, I see, and it's so painful at times, even when I see in couples, you know, they don't have patience with each other and they don't realize they want to throw in a towel. And I understand. I'm not trying to say, because we had one experience, and I would be transparent. We had one experience in the beginning of our marriage and I wanted to throw in the towel. But I remember you said to me, divorce is not an option for us. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute, because you cuckoo for. That's what I thought at the time. And I just I really want to remove the pressure because I'm already been through some stuff. I already gone through some stuff. I had a child that went through behavior issues. Okay, but you're bringing me problems too. Not understanding that you didn't know how to do this. And I know the women, a lot of the women think I make excuses for men, and I don't. It's just I learned a lot through my husband. I learned a lot even though my husband had a father in the home, but his father did not teach him because he did not know. And this is the thing I try to minister, and I need you to catch this, women, wives. That's the reason why. That's what separates you from the girlfriend. Ah, you didn't catch that. What separates you from a girlfriend is that means you're in it to win it. And a lot of times, but we don't get taught that. We get taught, okay, they get on your nerve enough, and they don't do what you want them to do, and they're not all what you want them to be. You get a divorce. See, that's worldly concept. That's a carnal mind.
Absolutely.
But when you got a spiritual mind, and not to say, I need you to catch this, not to say you won't have the thought, but if we women, brothers, if we're going to try to teach our children how to endure, we got to learn how to do it too. But then,
absolutely,
like I love what Larry said, and I know he was talking to the brothers, it's not about you. It's not about you, but then wives, it's not about you either. It's about you, but it's not about you. You got sometimes there's a time frame that you got to sow seed. Then you reap the harvest. There was a time in me and my husband's life that I was sowing a lot of seeds. When he was not spiritual developed where he is now, and then like 5-6 years ago, I had to sow a lot of seeds. I had to push him up front. I had to bite down. I had to take my spiritual, powerful self, anointed self, and sit myself down somewhere and allow God to build him and develop him and pray for him in secret. And did I get myself hurt sometimes? Yes, I did. Did he say things? I remember, baby, you remember all those meetings you used to have me? You had a complaint every week?
Absolutely.
You remember that? Remember there was so many times. I was like, I have never met a man that complained about me all the time. I mean, every week he had a meeting. He wanted to have a family meeting, and the whole family meeting was always about me and the girls. Cause y'all need to do this. You need to stop doing this. Blah blah blah. I wouldn't even know that he's going to call the meeting, and then I wouldn't know what he was going to discuss. And I remember, I want to minister to some wives right now, and I want to minister to some husbands. I remember feeling like that I was living and walking on eggshells, because every time he called my name, I'm like, oh, God, what is it now? What he's going to complain about now? What's the problem now? And I remember I never said nothing to him at the beginning. I just kept taking and taking, and then all of a sudden it just switched. And then one day we were just talking, and he said, I'm sorry putting that type of pressure on you. And I'm like, hmm? But he started spending a lot of time with God. And I don't know, I can't tell you, I can't speak for him, but all I know, I started seeing a transition from this dictator to this loving father to this loving husband. And I want to minister to the husbands out there. Why? Tell me why, baby. I want to know.
Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
The reason why I made that shift, because I understood that I have issues myself. And one of the things I was doing, I was pointing the finger at you guys, but didn't realize I had issues myself. And then one day I was writing down my list to have my pop meeting on you. You didn't even know about it. The Holy Spirit revealed to me and changed my whole life. He said, what if I gave you your list every day? What if I showed you everything that you're not doing right every day? And that changed my life, because I understood, you know what? If God have grace and mercy on me, why can I have grace and mercy on my best friend? You know, so that changed my life to understand, you know what? I came from a dictator now to someone that has grace and mercy. And I'm not saying it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But I had to make that transformation. I had to understand, wait a minute, this is the person I want to be with for the rest of my life. So why should I treat her like she's in prison? You know, why should I treat her like I'm a ward or I'm a principal, I'm a dean? No, this is my best friend. And let me help you out. Your home should be the easiest place your wife and your children should get along with. That should be the place that if I can't find no peace nowhere else on this earth, I should have peace in my own tabernacle. And so it's your job to build that sense of atmosphere that they got chaos on their job, they got chaos on the family house, they got chaos anywhere else. I can't wait to get home. Why? Because this atmosphere is conducive to what I'm used to. And so we have to build that atmosphere to where our wives will feel safe around us. You know, it's sad, man, when your wife don't want to be around you. You know, it's sad that your wife makes excuses not to go home, or they stay out late enough, so when they do get home, they just take a shower and go to bed. You know, you have to get to that place to say, hey, you know what, if my wife don't want to be home, why is that? You know, it's your job to set the atmosphere. And once you make that determination to say, hey, I'm in it to win it, divorce is not an option, I don't care what comes up, hey, I'm in it to win it, then I believe you're going to begin to see the process of change in your marriage.
Amen. That's good, baby. But it flips on the women too, because the women, you know, men don't want to come home every time, turn around, you dictating everything he do, what should I do, how he pay the bills, how he do this, and all the kinds of why you was late, why you 5 minutes late, did you call me, did you talk to her, why you ain't tell me, who is that person on the Facebook, who is your friend, why you got so many female friends, why da da da. I mean, some of the stuff can get to the point it could be a nagging person, and so it goes the same way. We want to be balanced, because yes, we get more men are dictated with a strong arm, but then we got a lot of women that's so emotional, to the point everything you do is emotionally, and then it affects the marriage. But we want to go into, because we want to go into the discussion points, and we discuss a lot of different things. We just discussed the storm without saying it was the storm. The storm is identified as your different issues, the different issues that can come up in the marriage, your children, finances, a lost job, stuff like that. And then we talk about the process. My husband really talked about the process. This day is going to take a process. If you're looking for an ABC, you ain't going to find it, because you got to keep shifting. You got to keep shifting, because some things is not going to work. Even everything that we're telling you, you got to at least try it. And then you say, okay, that did not work, so let me shift. One thing I do know for sure, that if you got a relationship with God and you open yourself and don't be selfish, you got to remove self out the way. It's not about you.
Absolutely.
If you do that, you will have a clear ear to hear God when God says, don't do that. don't say that. But when you are, I tell couples, me and my husband say this all the time, that you got to learn to listen with your heart and not with your head. Because if you listen with your heart, that means you really want to know, what is the problem? How can I serve you? What did I do to hurt you? But when you listen with your head, only thing you're doing is trying to come back with another answer. Come back with the next issue that you want to bring up so you can talk about it. You got to know how to diffuse some stuff instead of just piling on different issues after issues after issues. So we want to talk about the recovery, because we talked about the problem. We talk about a lot of different things that happen in marriage, and the non-communication, the non-respect, because that's another thing women I want to just piggyback on. I just want to talk about just a little bit, Pastor Larry, is about that respect. My husband said this all the time, and I know he going to say it again, and I know he got it from somewhere else, but I got it from my husband. He said a man will leave a wife that loves him and run to a woman that respects him. No man, and I learned this early up, no man want to be disrespected regardless if in public or private. Now, public is worse, but even in private, you have to have a way that you respect your husband. You got to check wives. You got to check your mannerism, how you talk to your husband. If you're talking in some wives, and I'm learning with a lot of wives, you don't almost realize the attitudes that you carry, your face expression, your body movement. You don't almost realize, because you've been with you so long, and you don't think you have an attitude, but you really do, and your husband pick it up, and you don't realize that it's tearing him down. So he's going to respond a certain way, and you're going to not justify what he has his response is, but he responds a certain way based on what you say and how you say things. Lord knows I'm not making an excuse, but each party got to check themselves, and they got to do better. Wives, you got to get to the place. You don't respect him because he earned respect. You got to respect him because you're a respectable person. Do you hear what I'm saying? And Lord knows I respect my husband. I have never disrespected my husband, as far as I know, baby, did I? In public,
no,
especially in public.
You're an angel. You're an angel.
Stop lying. I'm not no angel. I remember one time, I got to tell y'all a testimony. No, I got to tell y'all a testimony. Me and my husband, one day, we was on our way to church. This was some years ago, probably like in 5 years.
Oh,
I say 5 years our marriage. And we was on our way. We was having like a really heated discussion, but that discussion did not go to the place where, you know, we was arguing and screaming, but we was having a heated discussion. And my husband told me to shut up. I mean, he never told me to shut up. He told
shut
me,
up.
And the only thing we could only thing we could do is turn around and look at each other and laugh, because we don't have those type of heated conversations like that. We never had those type of heated conversations. So when he did it, it was funny. But then I told him, I said, you told me to shut up. That's what it was. I just kept yak. And even though I wasn't screaming, even though I wasn't doing all that, but the point is I wouldn't close my mouth. And he was trying to say something, and you know us, how we are women, we stutter talking. Now, you got some men that's like that, very emotional, don't never let the woman get in, to have nothing to say, and then when she does say it, you just chalk her down and tear her down. So I just had to put that out there. But let's talk about the recovery, Pastor Larry. Let's talk about the recovery. The first point that we have, and we're talking about giving you, and this is our six steps. This is our six steps. I just want to, I don't want to use call them steps. I want to give you six tools that you can use, and as my husband always say, six tools to add to your toolbox. Six tools to add
that's
to your
right there.
Toolbox.
Good.
And, I'm hoping and praying that you got your pen and pencils out, because we want you to write these things down. And also, the last 15, 20 minutes of the show, if you have a question, if there's something you want to add a question out there, please press number one. It will give me the indicator that you have a question for me and my husband, and we're going to do our best to, you know, give you an answer to that. So we're talking about the recovery. We don't talk about the storm. We don't talk about the process, but we want to talk about the recovery. The first step, Pastor Larry, we have down as the recovery is take turns of being strong. As a couple, if you're going to endure the storm together, you got to take turns. You got to take turn of being strong. What do you mean, Pastor Teresa? And Pastor Larry's going to come in. No one, I need you to hear me, no one is strong all the time. But you must be a tag team and picking who's stronger in this area or who's stronger today? And see, one thing I love about me and my husband, that's my best friend, that's my boo, even though when I'm mad with him, it's hard to stay mad with him because he's such a peaceful man, and he's a very aggressive man. A lot of people don't think he's aggressive, but he's very aggressive. Lord Jesus, that's a whole other ballgame. But we take turns at being strong. There's times I'm strong, and the majority of the time he's the one more stronger because God has just pushed my husband to another level that just sometimes I'm surprised how powerful and how loving he is. But you got to take turns of being strong. Pastor Larry, go ahead.
I definitely agree with that. One thing, let me give you my definition of the word strong. Strong has nothing to do with physical strength, right? So when we say strong, we're not saying nothing about being physical strength. You know, of course, most men are built to be stronger than women, but the strength that we're referring to is spiritual. You know, someone has to be alert at every given moment. You may not be a person that's alert all the time, but as partners, if I'm weak in this area on this particular day, then as the other individual, it's your job to kick in your strength. And so it still goes back to everyone still has to be building their relationship with God. You have to constantly build your relationship with God because your spouse, once they get low, they need you not to build ship. You know, if your spouse come home one day, man, and all of a sudden, the way she left that morning, she didn't act the way now something happened on her job or whatever the case may be, the kids cutting the fool or their job tripping or the mama acting the fool. When she get home, she's totally different. At that point, she needs you to be strong, not you to jump ship because you don't want to hear her talking. So you have to get to a place to say, hey, if my wife is weak at this moment, I need to kick in my strength. I need to kick in an area where I know right now she's not at, even though I know she's strong, but not, today is different because you can be strong in one area today, but tomorrow the same area you kind of weak in. So you have to understand when you're weak and when you're strong, when you need to kick in because it's vital. And I see a lot of couples, when the one person gets weak, then immediately they jump ship or they don't understand what's going on or they think it's something wrong with them or what's wrong with you. No, no, no. If you know you haven't done anything to cause a wedge in your marriage, all of a sudden now something's going on, you got to understand it's the enemy that's coming in because the enemy, he hates marriage. He does not want marriage, especially Christian marriages. He does not want Christian marriages to stand. So he's going to form a wedge where he uses children, he uses a job, he uses anything. So when the enemy comes in, you got to be able to understand, wait a minute, okay, I see what the enemy is doing with my wife. She's short talking. She's answering me real quick. Something's going on. She's not strong in this era today. So let me kick in and operate in my spiritual strength, which means self-control, which means patience, which means normally she cook every night when she get home, but today she don't want to, but today she's kind of frustrated. So let me kick in and say, baby, don't worry about cooking. I'll go get something to eat or go let me cook. You know, so you have to shift.
Right.
So that at this moment something happened, and right now I'm not, she's too sensitive to even talk right now. So let me go and let her get her rest, and let me do what I can do to relieve some of this pressure. And so you have to understand that you all guys are on a team, and everything that goes on routinely, if it doesn't happen that day, that individual shouldn't get upset. Something happened. What broke the routine? It's not the individual. 9 times out of 10, is the enemy coming in using outside parameters to come in just trying to form a wedge between your spouse. So it's vital that both are building a relationship with God, so when that one spouse is weak, you can kick in and be strong.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I like the way you explained about the strong because in the wives, you got to understand that sometimes with our husbands, just like my husband stated, that, you know, a lot of men don't grow up with a father, don't grow with that male figure in their life, and they do not know what they're doing. And I hate to keep saying that because I see that's the most problem that I'm seeing. You got a lot of women that know how to be a parent because they got pregnant early, they have children, so we had to grow up fast. And men, unfortunate men, they have babies, but they're not the one taking care of them, so that don't mature them up. With us, those things are, you know, those things make us mature. So I really want you to understand when we talk about strong wives, you may have to pray for your husband more. Maybe he's not giving you what you want when it comes down to tangible or spirituality wise, or he may not be that spiritual figure that you want in your house. But you got to know how to continue praying for him. Amen. Okay, number two. And give much grace as you want to receive. Number two, give as much grace as you want to receive. In other words, before my husband chime in, the other words is the very grace that you want to have when you make a mistake or when you do something wrong or when you don't meet the mark, you need to give that grace to your spouse. When a couple is suffering, it can be very easy to overlook. Overlook the little smaller things. And unfortunately, when we sit back and just nitpick on things and don't realize is your day is coming. Your day, your mistake's going to come. Your attitude's going to come, and you're going to want grace. And a lot of times, this is where I see a lot of wives and husbands, when somebody do something wrong, you know, and then when you do wrong, you want to bring up all the stuff I ever did, but we're not talking about that right now. I have this thing where I tell couples, you got to make sure that you separate things from the basket. You got to make sure that you don't put everything in the basket. If your husband or your wife bringing an issue to you about today, you can't go back and say, well, you did this 2 days ago. You can't do that. Deal with current. Deal with what's the issue now. Because when you do that, you're going tit for tat. And that's not how God wants us to do that. So in other words, as I stated, you want to give grace just as much as you want to receive. Pastor Larry.
I want to use one example as far as giving grace. Dealing with the individual that has a problem with managing their finances. If it's the husband, if it's the wife, whichever person it is, the one who's good at managing money, the one who's good at saving money, sometimes you can get frustrated with your spouse because as soon as they retrieve money, it's constantly being gone. So you have to understand that, hey, I need to have some grace with my spouse dealing with finance, dealing with savings, because some spouses don't know about 401k and RAs and investments. A lot of men and a lot of women have been learned to, when you receive money, just spend it. They don't have a concept of saving. So you may have the concept of saving, but your spouse may not have that concept yet, and now you can get frustrated with the individual, but that's when the grace kick in, and the grace factor kick in, and they splurged over the weekend and spent $200 that they didn't tell you about, and now you upset because that money they spent could have been used somewhere else. Instead of you being bitter with the individual, that's when grace kick in and say, you know what, they're still going through that process of learning. Not to say they should not have talked to you, but they should have, but you got to understand, you got two individuals coming together trying to make this union one. And so you have to understand that there's some things that you may be a professional in, but your spouse may be still in elementary. So you got to have that grace factor until they graduate to that place that you're on, because there's some things in marriages, one spouse is in college, the other spouse is in elementary school. But we're trying to get everyone on the college level in every area, and sometimes they don't work at the same time. So you got to understand, hey, if I'm a professor in this area, but I'm in elementary school over here, when it's your time to act like a child and your spouse wants you to be a professional person, you got to have that grace factor to kick in, because if not, you're going to get resentful, you're going to get angry, and you're going to get bitter. And you don't want to get bitter in your marriage, but once you get bitter in your marriage, then all communication ceases.
Yeah.
You're not going to talk anymore, you're not going to listen anymore, and you're going to just take this, and then you can begin to be roommates. And it's sad to be in a marriage and you feel like being a roommate. You feel like that you don't have no love, there's no passion. It's because you have not allowed grace to kick in the areas that your spouse needs. Because every individual, trust me, my wife can testify, we all need grace. We all need that grace because we don't hit the target every day. I don't hit the target every day.
Right.
I know my wife may be saying all these accolades about me, but there's some stuff that I've done that wasn't pleasing to God. But my wife allowed the grace factor to kick in. And once I understood that and once I embraced the grace, then I was able, easy for me to give her grace as well, because my wife is a powerful woman of God, but there's some stuff that I wasn't pleasing her as well. And so I was beginning to get frustrated, but I had to allow that grace factor to kick in and say, hey, you know what? She's not me in this area. And so instead of me complaining, instead of me pointing the finger, let me put in the grace factor. And once I instituted the grace factor, the thing that I really thought about was major really wasn't major at all. It was minor, but I made it major because I wanted her to be on this level. But the Lord said, no, you're already strong over here. So until she get here, why sweat the issue? So we have to understand that, hey, the grace factor is very vital in marriage. Because if you exclude the grace factor from your marriage, then you're going to start operating as roommates. And no one wants to be with someone when they feel like they're a roommate.
That's awesome, baby. That's awesome. Number three, forgiveness. We have to get to the place that we forgive. is no doubt our marriage is going to go through. We're going to have many things, obstacles that we go through, and you know, we're going to hurt each other unintentionally, but we're going to hurt each other. But there's some things that literally husbands and wives that we do to each other does bring a lot of distrust, a lot of different discomfort, and even like infidelity. A lot of times, if it's a emotional infidelity, if it's a physical one, that brings so much damage to the marriage. And I have to talk about that because I do know that we have some people online. We have a lot of couples on the line tonight, and we have a lot of people trying it on Facebook. And I really want to minister to you if you have dealt with infidelity in your marriage. That is not the unforgettable sin. You can't get past that, but it's not you getting past it, it's how you get past it. As husband, if the husband is the one had the infidelity problem or the wife, you got to know how to forgive this. If you made a decision that I'm going to stick into my marriage, I'm going to forgive my husband, or I'm going to forgive my wife, I'm going to move on. However, there's still things, and I know there's a lot of problem with the men, especially when the men have this issue, and the wife sometimes it seems like she still don't trust me. Well, sweetheart, you know, it takes years to build trust. It takes one issue, one incident to tear it down. So when you made that decision, wife or husband, if you made that decision to step out on your marriage, and then that caused that friction in your marriage, and that don't remove the other stuff that you got to deal with, that just added on too, then you got to understand, you got to have patience, but you got to forgive, wife. You're going to have to forgive, husband. You're going to have to let that go. And then now, and when you're going through your moments of, you know, that moment that you be feeling, you got to know how to communicate. And then at the same time, husband or wife, whoever did the act, you got to know how to be patient with your wife. You can't say, I'm not doing that no more. That's not me no more. I understand that they may not be you, but I'm not the one stepped out on you. I'm not the one that, you know, caused the distrust in our relationship, but you got to have patience with my hurt. Now, I forgave you, but you got to have patience with my hurt because I'm still dealing with that. And I want to say that, Pastor Larry, because, you know, us, we deal with a lot of couples that have had those issues, and I keep hearing the same thing. Well, she haven't forgave me, and she have forgave you, but the key thing is, or he haven't forgave me in that area. The key thing is now y'all working the process. Y'all got to work the process. Now you're recovering. You still in recovery mode. Amen. Pastor Larry, what you got to say about forgiveness?
Cool, man. Let's stay right there with, you say infidelity and adultery. First of all, forgiveness is instant, but trust is earned. Forgiveness is instant, trust is earned. But Pastor Larry, what do you mean? I can't forgive him. No. As believers, we must forgive. As believers, we should forgive each other. Because God, if we don't forgive people, God's not going to forgive us. But there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. I forgave you. I don't trust you yet. So you got to earn that trust back. But I forgave you. I have forgiven you. That's one thing that can hold marriages hostage too, is because we're waiting for that spouse to earn forgiveness. That's mm-hmm. how it works. You forgive instant, but trust should be earned. They should have to earn your forgiveness. As believers, you should forgive them. But if you're holding on to that, you haven't forgiven that person yet, then it's hard for you to receive reconciliation. Because you haven't forgiven the person yet. Well, they need to earn that. No. They earn your trust back, not the forgiveness. That's
right.
Why Jesus, the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to earn forgiveness. He forgave us while we were still a sinner. But now we got to build that trust. So let me go there. So since I said that, let me say this. Most men, and I can testify myself, if you didn't have a strong relationship with your father, and if your father didn't teach you spiritual, biblical principles, and you became a man, but you still got the little boy syndrome inside you, guess what? You're going to do things that you did before you got saved. And just because you're married does not mean you're whole. I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're married does not mean you're whole. A lot of men, when infidelity takes place, a lot of times it's the man that actually stepping out of the marriage. And sometimes as men, I may get in trouble for this. We say we'll change, but really we got caught. So if we never got caught, would we have really changed? And so we got to understand this. Mm-hmm. We hear a lot, I hear a lot of women deal with deliverance, but very few preachers teach on men need to be delivered. Because you could be married, but if you still have a lust spirit, if you still dealing with lust and pornography and things of those nature, a wife that's with you every day won't kill that demon, won't kill that spirit. So wives, I know it may be hard because sometimes you will attach yourself to your spouse because he cheated on you. You got to swallow what I'm going to tell you. It's not about you. He mm-hmm. tipped out on you. He could have been anyone. It's just you connected with him. But if that man don't get free, guess what? He can divorce you today and marry someone tomorrow, and that other person goes down the same cycle. So I know it still don't relieve the pain, but I'm trying to get you to understand, a lot of times men, we have those secret battles that sometimes it's hard to express. Hey, wife, I need to tell you something. I'm dealing with a lust spirit. I'm dealing with pornography. Most men, that's something that we hide from everyone, including our spouse. It's kind of hard mm-hmm. for me as a man to come to my wife and say, baby, I got a problem. I got a problem with looking at other women. That's kind of hard for a man to tell his wife that, or vice versa. So you got to understand that men deal with battles sometimes that they may not be comfortable sharing even with their spouse. But men, you have to get to that place where if that's your issue, now it's time for us to go reach out and find someone who can be accountable to. First to God for true deliverance, and then it may have to be a physical deliverance that's going to take place. That's something that I'm building this curriculum now. I'm building this project that's going to allow men to be transformed, because a lot of men, we have to go through deliverance, you know, and that's a word that most men don't really believe, and sometimes we really don't want to receive it. But sometimes it may need to be some deliverance to take place, because a lot of times we've gotten caught in the act, but really haven't been converted yet. We really haven't been changed yet, and we'll stop. But if you haven't been delivered, guess what? That spirit gonna come back. Ask me how I know. So we got to get to a place mm-hmm. to say, hey, you know what? I got to get healed. I need to be whole, because if not, you'll be fine for 30 days. You'll be fine for 60 days. But guess what? Familiar spirits know it, and you'll sweep them out, and they come right back in. So you got to be connected with some people that's going to allow you to go through that deliverance. And once you go through that deliverance, your spouse, trust them, they're going to know it. They're going to see a change in you. You don't have to say it. They're going to see a change, and once they start seeing that change, then that trust will come to place. But here we're talking about forgiveness, but forgiveness is instant. But the trust has to be earned.
Amen, amen, amen. Wow, you said a lot, Pastor Larry. Well, I think I'm going to have another part, too, to this show. Oh, my God, I got a lot of questions. It's lit up. It's lit up, Pastor Larry. We have 12 people have questions, and I'm going to take a few, but I need to finish these points. Oh, my God. Okay, number four. Wow. Number four, have your spouse back. Have your spouse back. It's nothing like, and when I say have your spouse back, you got to be able to support your spouse. Your spouse may have a vision. He or she may have a business or whatever. Or it may be a problem. Somebody may be talking about your husband. Somebody may be talking about your wife. But you should not be talking about them. You should not be in a group. Nobody should be able to look at you and know that you don't like your husband. Or you don't like your wife. You should not be in little pockets and you talking about, oh, child, he just this. Oh, girl, oh, bruh, that girl right there, something serious. You got to have your spouse back. It's nothing like, I know without a shadow of a doubt, my wife, my husband got my back. I don't care what we going through, what we deal with. I know he got my back because he done proved that he got my back. He's my number one push. A lot of stuff that I'm doing now, that wasn't because I came out. My husband pushed me. I remember with my own personal ministry, he came to me and said, God visited him in a dream, and he told me that God told him to push me. You got to start. You got to do your ministry. I'm like, no, I don't want to. No, I got this to do. I got this to do, the ministry at the church. He said, no, God, this is what God says. You got to do it. And a lot of times, a lot of fears I had, my husband was he was the seed that helped me get past some stuff because he believed in me and I believe in him. So you got to have your spouse back. You got to prove. And let me tell you something, wives, your husband would know that you really got his back or not. He would know, and vice versa. So you got to have your wife back. That's number four. Pastor Larry, go ahead and pick it back on that real quick.
Yeah, it's vital that we have each other's back to think about what my wife was stating when we first started our ministry based on the power of the Holy Ghost. And I didn't want to, my flesh didn't want to do it, but I knew I had to obey to God, and I loved my wife enough to the point where I told her, hey, I'm going to work. You focus on your personal ministry. You focus on doing the thing that you feel God has put in your spirit, and I handle everything else, which means we couldn't go out to dinner. We couldn't do some things that most couples could do, but that was a sacrifice we were willing to take to get her where I needed her to be, because I knew there was a call upon her life, and she had to operate then. And so I had to make a decision. Do I allow her just to go and find a job, both of us working, but then the vision and the dream that's on the inside of her lie dormant, or do I sacrifice pleasure and allow this vision to come to pass? And so that was something I was willing to do, take the back seat. And it was tough. You know, you're working, you're doing things, and the money's not coming in the way you want it, and I wanted to bless my wife on certain things. I couldn't do it because financially I wasn't able to do it. But one thing I was providing for her is her back spiritually to be her best cheerleader, to say, hey, you know what, go ahead and do it. Don't worry about the finances. I'm going to trust in God. I'm still going to do the natural, but then God's going to do the supernatural. And lo and behold, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, now we're seeing the benefit of me having her back years ago. So, men, you have to be your wife's best cheerleader. You have to be that one to say, hey, if nobody believes in you, I believe in you. If nobody buy your book, I buy your book. If nobody like your post, I like your post. As a matter of fact, that's why I did it on purpose. We did it, I think, a couple of years ago. I used to put pictures on Facebook and say something about my wife just random. I did it on purpose. Why? I want the world to know that if without a shadow of a doubt, I love that woman. So if they never met me in person, they said, you know what, one thing about that brother there, he sure put some pictures out there. He loved his wife, but he made it well. People just put pictures out there. That don't really test, that really don't show that you love. True. But guess what? When I built that consistency, let me say this. If you're consistent in something, people realize, you know what, that's not a phase. Because guess what? You only can fake it for so long. You only can be phony for so long. So consistency will prove that you truly love an individual. So that's just one of the examples that I can give of having my wife back years ago, is allowing her to cultivate her gift. And now that gift is beginning to be blossomed, and now we're reaping the benefit of her really having me having her back.
Yeah, and I can say the same thing, and I don't want to spell it alone because I want to finish this point. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't always have my husband back. I'm going to just be honest. I was the one that struggled really, truly supporting my husband. When my husband, 5 years ago, prior to us starting the ministry, he came to me and told me, God said, and I'm like, and at that time, I was like, no, baby, I think, you know, the Lord is really want us to stay where we were and really push the vision that we're where we were and all that kind of stuff like that. And like clockwork, if you got a copy of the magazine, you've seen the article, but like clockwork, every year he would come back to me and tell me, thus said the Lord, and I would find something to detour him. I didn't want to leave my former ministry. I did not want to go. And it was not because I was stuck. Two things. I didn't want to leave where I was, and I did not want to fulfill purpose. You better catch that. Because I was afraid. I was scared out of my wits. I was like, no, I don't want to. And then because I always work with pastors and I always serve pastors in my business and even in the church ministry-wise, I didn't want to go through what pastors go through. I just didn't want to do that. And I knew there was a call to God. He didn't have to tell me. I knew that from day one. But at the same time, I didn't want to acknowledge that. So I did a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I kept saying, no, this and another. But I learned my lesson. I suffered from that. And I had to apologize to my husband. And then from that day to this, when he made a determination, he said, okay, look, this is what we're going to do. You better go and get used to it. I'm like, oh, God. But I learned something. When we made that transition, I didn't realize how much error I was in. I wasn't doing God's will. I was doing man's will. And I was doing my own self-will because it's something I just personally did not want to do. So I want to say that, too, because sometimes we don't always have our spouse back. And I could tell you, testify, I have my spouse back now. I have my husband's back now. Best believe that. But I didn't always have his back. But he always had mine. The next thing is allow one another to grieve a loss. And when I say allow each one, you know, one another to grieve a loss, it means this. loss of job, loss of friend, transition from church to church, or whatever the situation may be, loss of a loved one, whatever that you got to give, or even a loss when infidelity has taken place, that's a loss. When there's something happening that brought a damage into your relationship, allow your spouse the time to grieve. It's nothing like when you're still gutted open and then you got people still want you to work while you could. It's nothing like when you're hurting and people still want you to perform as if you're not hurting. That is a dangerous place. You really re-damaging your spouse when we try to push them and make them accept and swallow when they're still hurting. And it's very careful. You got a lot of time. And you say, well, how long? I don't know. That's something you got to take up with God. I don't know how long. And if you keep trying to press the issue, all you're going to keep running against is resistance. And you're going to make the situation worse. Pastor Larry, go ahead, honey.
This is really simple for me. Allowing a person to grieve is really showing the love of God. That's when your agape love kicks in and you give that person time to grieve. And a lot of times it's not you having any answers. It's not you even, sometimes you're not even saying anything. It's just giving them that time to grieve. It's giving them that atmosphere to where they feel, I can grieve and not feel ashamed. You know, I can let my hair down and don't feel vulnerable. You know, so as men, you have to build that. You have to build that place to where when your wife has to grieve, she knows she can be naked before you. You know, I'm not saying physical. I'm saying emotional. She can be naked, vulnerable before you, and she don't have to feel like she can't be free. So you have to show the love of God in that area. And a lot of times we have these shortcuts or we have these methods, these 5 or 6 steps. But if we go back to the text, if we go back to the Bible, it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We have to show that agape love with our spouses because when you're grieving, that's a place that is not comfortable. So you have to have that person with you that, you know what, I'm going to grieve. If it may take a day, if it may take a 6 months, if it may even take a year, take the time off. Take the time frame off. But if you show the love of God, one thing I do know, I may not know how long it may take for that person to grieve, but with the love of God, I guarantee you that process will be quicker because now they're feeling the love of God from you, and now they're able to recover, you know, because once they're grieving, they're trying to recover. But if you're not giving them time to grieve, they can never recover. And so if they can't recover, they'll do other things and put stuff over the grief, but eventually what's at the bottom will rise right back up to the top. So you got to get to a place where you allow that person to feel the love of God while they go through the grieving process.
Yeah. Our last point, oh my, I want to get a couple questions, and I got a couple inboxes. They don't want to be online, but they want, and then they got some questions, and we're going to try to target. We're going to try to, you know, hit it. We may have to do a part two, Pastor Larry. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, our last part two, is
no
our
problem.
Last two for the toolbox is remember who team you're on. Remember who team you're on. I don't know if your last name may be Burton. Your last name may be Williams. Your last name may be the Thomases. But you on the Thomas team. You on the Burton team. Whatever your last name, whatever his and hers last name is, whatever team, I don't know what your last name may be because there's a lot of people on the line tonight and a lot of people chiming in on Facebook. But whatever team it is, you want to make sure that you understand and remember who team you're on. And I know it's difficult right now, and I just want to minister to you right now. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. My husband preached a powerful word last night. He said, nobody told you. Nobody told you it's going to be this difficult. Nobody told you because he can't tell you. God is not going to show us everything because he know we'll abandon the ship. The key thing is not what we go through, and I said that earlier, it's not what we go through is the issue. It's how we handle what we go through. I thank God when I wanted to abandon this ship, the Burton ship, I thank God I did not do that because I love this man. I have never been in love before. I have cared about people. I've been in multiple relationships, but I've never been in love before, and I'm in love with this man. And I really can truly say I'm going to the moon with him. I sure am. I say, you know, because I love him that much, and I know he loves me. And so even when we go through our times, and even times, and I'm going to tell you something, sometimes you're going to feel lonely. even while you're married. And it may be 2 days, 3 days, it may be 2 months, it may be 4 months, it may be 6 months. However, when you, if you got a relationship with God, God will keep you if you want to be kept. He will keep you if you want to be kept. Remember who team you on, Pastor Larry. Go ahead and go ahead and finish that off, and we're gonna take a couple questions, and then we're gonna end the show, and I'm gonna announce if we're gonna have another part two or not. Go ahead, Pastor Larry.
First thing you gotta understand, there's no I in team. There's no I in team. So when we talked about earlier in the episode that you have to remove yourself from the equation, because once you consider yourself a team, I-ism doesn't exist. Right? I-ism does not exist. Hey, we're a team. There's no I in team. What can we do to do this thing together? Ephesians 6:12 says this: for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you got to understand this, that we are a team. And when turmoil, when the storms come in your marriage, understand that you are not the enemy. You're not fighting against something that you can see. You're fighting a spiritual battle. So your husband and wife, you're not the enemy. You're on the same team. But it's this outside force trying to invade your private chambers. So as long as you understand that there's no I in team, that we're in this thing together, then you understand that we have to fight to get this thing to work together. It's sad when one person is fighting and the other person isn't. And sometimes that may happen. You may be fighting. You may be on a battlefield of life, a playing field of life, and your spouse is riding the bench. But just because they're riding the bench doesn't give you the right to quit the game, because you got to stay in the game, because eventually they may be on the bench, but God's going to use you to anoint them to get back on the playing field. So I'm speaking to somebody right now, because you may say, Pastor, my husband and my wife, they're on the bench. It's okay. God's allowing you to maintain the game. He's allowing you to keep the score close, because he knows weeping men do it for a night, joy comes in the morning. He's going to help your spouse, but that spouse also that's riding the bench got to have a desire to get in the game, because God's not going to force you to get in the game with your wife unless you have a desire to get in the game. So it's just twofold. Stay on the playing field, but that husband or that wife that's on the sideline, you got to have a desire to get in the game so you as a team can win. Amen?
Amen, amen. All right, callers, we're going to go to one commercial while we go ahead and get these questions. If you have a question and you don't want to be online and do not want to be on the air, you can inbox me. And the part two, we're going to have a part two. I'm getting inboxes. Please have part two. Please have part two. I hear you, callers. I see you. We're going to do that. But we're going to get a few questions, and we're going to come right back. Stay tuned to the commercial. Hi, this is Pastor Teresa, and I personally would like to invite you to experience the Inspire magazine. Inspire magazine is a magazine that's offering women and girls information and articles about issues that we face every day, from marriages and singles, parenting, relationships, spirituality, education, depression, health, finances, fitness, career, and yes, beauty. Each issue will feature stories and testimonies of women that live right here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You do not want to miss out on this. You want to have this magazine amongst your other reading material. You won't regret it, but you will be empowered, motivated, and most of all, inspired to inspire someone else. Visit me today on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, and purchase your copy. Hope to see you.
If you're in the Jacksonville area, we welcome you to attend the Father's House Kingdom Ministries. Our services are held Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesday Bible studies at 7:30 p.m. The address is 6455 Restlawn Drive in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Also, visit our website at www.fathershousejack.com. We look forward to seeing you in one of our services.
Hi, this is Pastor Teresa.
Hey, it's your girl Kajay, and I'm 19.
Hey, this is your girl Sakisha, and I'm 21.
Hey, this is your girl Katara, and I'm 16.
Hey, y'all, this is Loran, I'm 18.
Hey, y'all, this is Jalen, and I'm 15.
And we're your next talk co-host.
And I personally like to invite you to join us every fourth Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we create dialogue amongst teen girls. Yes, teen girls and young ladies. We understand that different things that you young ladies face, and we have created a host of young ladies to come together and share their experience and outcomes in different situations that they have been in and actually overcame. We want you to meet us here, right here on Share Talk, and you can do that by calling 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. 60 minutes of live empowerment. Meet us here, right here on Share Talk.
All right, callers, we're back on the line, and we would like to thank you for all the callers, with all the ones that's chimed in on Facebook and Twitter, and those who have called in. We have a lot of calls on tonight. We do have a couple questions. I'm going to read off some couple questions from Facebook, and then we have a question that was called in. I answer one call, and we're going to go from there. Pastor Larry, are you there?
I'm here. I'm still here.
Amen, amen. We had a caller. Their question was that how do you, they're a blended family. Apparently, they're a blended family. And the child, the husband, it was a male. The child from the outside, from a previous relationship, they're kind of going through a battle with visitation rights, and they're getting ready to go to court. And the wife is really going back and forth when it comes out. It's in a positive way. And then the wife, I think the wife is kind of getting hurt because once the child comes over, she's blending with the child. But when the child goes home, when the child come back, and after being with the biological mother, so much negative things have been said to the biological child, it affects the wife. So the husband really want to know, how do he handle that? How do he minister to the wife, the child, and the baby mom? They get ready to go to court and all that good stuff there, but they still, he's just trying to find, how do he handle that? Pastor Larry?
Oh, that's a question for me. Okay. I didn't know the question.
Yeah.
That's really, I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? I don't hear anybody talking. Okay, that's me. Real easy, real easy. You have to understand, as we stated earlier, you guys are a team. Not your kid's mother, but your wife. You are a team. You are one. And you can't let nothing get in between you and your mate. And I'm going to say something, it may sound kind of crazy, including your child. You got to understand, once you made that union in God, two shall become one, then you and your wife are one. Anything outside of that does not interfere with your union. And I think what I'm hearing is they're allowing the ex-wife or whatever, they're allowing what she's doing to affect the house inside. So you got to understand that you're on one team, that anything that goes on the outside, you're trying to bring on the inside, you got to deal with it, but you can't let that affect your union, because we went through that as well. Well, the outside was kind of affected the inside, but we made a declaration, hey, nothing on the outside of us will cause us to form a wedge. So you got to understand, hey, the wife, you got to love your husband. Husband, you got to love your wife. And to the wife, you got to understand, you got to be your husband's best cheerleader through this process, because a real man of God wants to spend time with their children. They want to spend time with their children. They want to see their children. So they're hurting just as much as you may not think they're hurting. And men, we have a different way of grieving. We have a different way of crying. We may not cry physical. On the inside, we're torn apart because we want to spend time with our child. But if there's a force on the outside that could hinder that, we're still walking around hurt. So that wife, you got to understand, you got to be his best cheerleader on this team. And sometimes he may make a decision that may not be right, or it could be done better, but you still got to be that cheerleader. You're talking about one. You got to be one. It's easy to be one when there's nothing going on the outside that's affecting the inside. But when the outside try to come in, that's when that love got to kick in. That's when that grace got to kick in. That's when you got to understand, wait a minute, we're going to weather this storm together. There's no I. You can't look at the outside influence. They're not the enemy. I need you to hear this. They're not the enemy. It's the enemy using them to make you think they're the enemy. I read the scripture earlier. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, It's not a flesh and blood battle. We're believers. We can understand there's an enemy out there. There's a real devil, and his job is to use anybody he can to separate your union. So if you don't have your mind fixed on what's spiritual and what's natural, you'll make a wrong decision, and you'll be fighting the wrong enemy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would like to say, too, because I think there's a little bit more to this question, and I'm so sorry, brother, that I was trying to get everything that you said, but it was a lot of frequency in the background, and so I couldn't hear everything. But I want to say to you this. I commend you that want to spend time with your children. We commend you on that. We commend you
yeah.
that you're willing to go through the process. We commend you that you want help. Just see how can you do this. And I would like for you, if you could, I would like for you to inbox me the question again. So next time we have part two, and we're going to do part two real soon. We're not going to let it look like I'm going to have a separate another share talk just dealing with couples, because we have a lot of questions. My inbox are full. I have a lot of calls that's lit up that has questions, and I don't want to omit anybody with the questions. And I do apologize for some of the questions and some of the tips that we was giving you. We was a little bit lengthy in others, but I want to say this to you. When your mind and your heart is open to receive the thus said the Lord, I promise you things will work out. And for your question, I know for me and my husband, we dealt with a lot of stuff, and we would never disclose everything that we dealt with when it comes to our children's mother and our children's fathers outside the home, because they are souls too, and they hurt too, and they have their own process and stuff like that. However, it was a struggle. But one thing I can say to my husband, just like my husband just stated, that we had to remove a lot of the extra stuff from me and him. So where I felt like the decision that he made, or I felt like she was disrespecting me, or I felt like that she was trying me, or whatever, that stuff like that. And, you know, I had to remove myself out of the picture when it comes down to certain things. So what we did was he came to me. He said, you know what, baby, this is the circle. And he put two dots in the middle of the circle. And he said, anything that come in this circle, that means we allow them to come in. And I respect my husband for that. He always been a man of God that had a lot of great wisdom, and he always been very a peaceful person. So with that said, he made that decision based on his relationship with God. He loved his children. I love all our children. I don't look at, like my husband said, we don't look at step and all that kind of stuff. Those are my children. And I really wish it was a peaceful thing, but it's not always when you're dealing with outside interference. The key thing is to make sure there's no friction between you and your wife. And make sure, and wife, I want to minister to you. Sometimes you got to close your mouth. You just need to close your mouth, really. Sometimes you just got to close your mouth and allow this man. He's going to make mistakes, and he's going to make more than one. He's going to make more than two. He's going to make more than three. He don't need a mama. He need a wife. He don't need you to be a dictator. Well, you should have did this. Did you do this? Did you do that? He don't need that. He needs a wife to allow him to get to that place where he needs to be. And wives, and I hate to seem like I'm always getting on the wives, but we got to give grace. We got to give him the mercy and allow them that time frame to get to that place. I want to say to you, all the callers, I want to thank God for you. We've been online for an hour and 30 minutes, and our time is actually up. And I want to minister to you guys as we close out the air. Pastor Larry's going to close us out with a prayer. But we want you to know that we are going to have a part two. We thank God for all the comments. I'm seeing all the comments in my inbox. But do tell your friends, tell another couple that may be struggling a little bit in their relationship, and they need some tips. They need to have some tools to add with their toolbox. So therefore, they can be who God created to be. Because just like my husband said, it's not the person that's the enemy. It's the enemy trying to attack your marriage. And you need to make a commitment not only to God but to yourself and your spouse, and say, hey, divorce is not an option. I'm in it to win it. Pastor Larry, can you just close us out with prayer, and we're going to actually post some information on our next show.
Yes, well, I want to say this real quick. This last tip, as a married couple, you got to understand this. Your marriage is in a crock pot, not a frying pan. Your marriage is in a crock pot, not a frying pan. It's not going to be done quick. Crock pot takes time. It simmers. It tenderizes the meat. It flavors the meat. A frying pan cooks something real easy and real quick. So you got to understand that your marriage is going through a crock pot situation, not a frying pan. Sometimes we want stuff real quick. Sometimes if you look good, if you look cooked on the outside, but when you cut it on the inside, it begins to bleed. So you got to understand this. hey, your marriage is going through this season of going through some things. It's working for your good. It's getting tenderized. It's getting more. So you may not think it's being done, but guess what? Sometimes in the crock pot, you don't know if it's done until you let it simmer. So don't be. So you can't. You gotta have some patience dealing with your husband, dealing with your wife. You gotta understand that you got two individuals trying to come together, and that blending process takes time. So I'm gonna go ahead and pray.
Amen.
And I thank God for those who actually chimed in, those who chimed in from via phone, from via Facebook, via internet. It was a blessing. It was my first time on the show. I thank God for my wife allowing me to speak. She's a powerful woman of God. I'm just this little small peon, but I thank God for
whatever.
And she's doing an excellent job. And I pray that she continue to be successful. And those who are on the show that really know her, I want you to support her. And I'm saying this because it's my wife, but because it's true. You know, I truly believe what she's doing is helping a lot of people. People that she may not never see, may not never get a chance to meet personally, but do know she's helping a whole lot of people. So once again, Pastor Reese, I want to thank you for allowing me to be on the show. And preferably you have me on again in the name of the Lord. Amen.
You know I'm going to have you back on. Go ahead, Pastor Larry. Go ahead and close out with prayer.
Okay. Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you, God. We thank you for this show, God. We thank you for the couples that called in, God. We thank you for the inboxes, God. We thank you for giving us an opportunity, God, to share a little snippet of your word, God. To share a little snippet, God, of our experience, God. To share a little snippet of our life. Changing experiences, God. So we pray, God, the thing that we said, God, was pleasing to your sight, God, and that these words, these nuggets, God, will be effective on the lives of those that heard the word, God. But let them not just hear the advice, God, but let them apply what they've heard, God. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy meant for evil, you're going to turn around for your good, God. So we pray for every marriage, God, that they strengthen them, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, we ask you, God, to let them stay close together, God. Let them understand that there are no I in team, that they got to continue to trust in you. They got to continue to love each other as Christ loved the church. So we thank you for the marriages. We thank you for even singles that may have called, trying to get some nuggets, Father, to prepare themselves to be married, God. We just give you glory. We give you honor. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, callers, we're going to actually see you once again. I'm going to announce the future for the couples. But you know, you meet me here every Monday at 6:30 here on Share Talk, and we're going to be able to have some good discussions and learning that the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we grow, share, talk, and grow. God bless you guys, and stay tuned for our commercial and stay tuned for more announcements on the couples discussions. God bless you.
You have been in tune to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa, brought to you by the way of Teresa Burton Ministry. Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Share Talk, you can meet Pastor Teresa for a live empowerment session that guarantees to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her on her website at teresaburtonministry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by call 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.